Hey, Shepherd, welcome again to Digital Worship. I'm Pastor John Carolus, and it's good to be with you as we take some time to dig deeper into the parables of Jesus. We've been spending time this summer in the teachings from the book of Matthew, the parables that Jesus gives to his disciples, to his followers, to the people that were listening to him speak, the sayings and the stories that give us the heavenly wisdom, oftentimes about the kingdom of God, that is the place where God is in charge, where Jesus is Lord. He calls the shots. The place where we are all citizens in that kingdom in connection with him. And today we'll be hearing a very familiar story, the parable of the sower, the seed that falls on different kinds of soil and how that results in the way that it grows or doesn't grow. And we'll be hearing a little bit of maybe a different perspective as to how we might hear it in a better way. So this parable is unique in that we get an explanation from Jesus as to what it means that he gave to his disciples very soon after speaking it. So the reading today is going to jump around a little bit. We'll be reading from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to, right through verse 9, and then we'll pick it up at 18 and go all the way to 23 to hear the explanation of the parable. So if you will, join me looking at Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told them many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun since they didn't have deep roots, and they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. This familiar parable has a way of, I think, sticking in our minds. Maybe you heard it as a child, or maybe you heard it when you went through a vacation Bible school program or in Sunday school, or maybe you've just heard it in church over the years, and it's something that you think about oftentimes. And when I was growing up, and as I even made my way into adulthood, all the way up until just the other day when our summer intern Chase and I were putting together a plan for the message based on this passage of scripture, I thought about the parable like this. The sower was walking across different kinds of soil, and he would throw some seed here or there, and he was kind of carelessly just planting the seed and letting it grow wherever it would. And while I don't want to get too deep into the metaphor, I don't want to overthink this picture that Jesus is painting. Instead of thinking about there being different plots of soil out there that the seed might land on, a better way that I seem to grasp the story is to think about the soil as it's layered on top of each other. So when I think about it how I used to, that is, where the soil is in different places, I always thought, wow, we're the soil, and we need to make sure we become fertile soil. So we need to rid ourselves of the rocks that might get in the way, the problems and persecutions in the life. We need to rip out the weeds in our life that would threaten to lure us away with wealth or with the things of this world. We need to make sure that we're not shallow soil. We need to go and make ourselves this deep, great soil through the things that we read and the places we spend time and the people we talk to. We must become good soil so that the Word of God can become fruitful in our lives. And while I don't want to caution you away or tell you not to try and make your life a great place or God's place to be, what I do want to do is alleviate you of the pressure you feel or the guilt you may have for not having the ability to make your life a perfect place for God's word to root. Because here's the kicker. no matter what stage of life you're in, no matter where you find yourself in the journey of faith, whether you're a lifelong believer who is deep into God's Word, or you are someone who has just come across the promises of God and find them to contain a timeless and powerful truth, each of us faces temptation and difficulties in life all the time. We may face the challenges that Jesus explains as the shallow soil, confusion, not understanding the Word of God, and we may quickly go for something more simple or something easier for us to understand. We may face a difficult time. We may suffer. We may face problems. We may have to endure through a trial. And whether that comes at a time when we're young in our faith or mature in our faith, it offers the same kind of temptation. It's an opportunity for us to think, where is God in this? Why isn't He showing up? How come my life isn't better? We can't do a whole lot to change how much suffering we encounter. In fact, Jesus often says throughout the Gospel of Matthew that the Christian life is one marked by suffering or marked by problems. And it's not the absence of those things that proves God's favor in our life. Rather, it's the way that He sustains us in the midst of them. So it can't be getting rid of the problems and persecution for our faith. Then finally, the lure of wealth and worldliness is always going to be facing us. There's always going to be the opportunity we have to think, you know what? I'm going to give up on this faith thing and pursue a bigger bank account. I'm going to give up on this faith thing and pursue some other place to find my value. I'm going to turn to the accomplishments I've had in life, or the car that I drive, or the house that I live in, or the people I influence. That's going to be where I go for my sustenance and for my for the place to be fed and cared for. No, you see, we're always going to face each of those things at different times, and sometimes all three at the same time. But this picture that Matthew gives throughout his gospel is that God's work begins when it gets to the deepest place within us, into our hearts. And when God's word gets into our hearts and takes root, it begins to change who we are from the inside out. He uses this image in a number of the parables we already covered this summer as to where His work takes place first in our lives. It's not that His work takes place on the inside and works its way to the outside necessarily, in the sense that our outside lives are just a shadow of our internal reality. I don't want to draw any weird philosophical, dualistic kind of philosophies or dichotomies within what makes a human being. Rather, what I want to say is, when Jesus' word takes deepest root in our hearts, it begins to change the way we interact with the world. In other words, it begins to change the way that we navigate through those problems that Jesus introduces in this very parable. And so instead of thinking of the soil being in different places on the ground, like a quadrant area, what if we thought about the soils being stacked on top of each other, and the good soil being here in the deepest part? People walk across the top of the soil all the time like a footpath. And so the danger there is not understanding, not getting deep enough. And we're prone to being captivated by all kinds of different ideas. The next level then is when persecution or problems come our way, especially on account of our faith. If we're not careful, the rocks of persecution and the rocks of hardship can threaten the value of the root of God's word in our lives. And so we need to strive for something deeper. We need to sustain through those hard times. We need to be casting ourselves into God's promises so that He can carry us through when it doesn't look like He's showing up in ways that the world would tell us to look for Him. And as we go a little bit deeper, we begin to see that worldliness, wealth, and the things of entertainment or influence, they may be a temptation for us to be led away from our relationship with God, going somewhere else. And we need to remember that God invites us into this relationship with Him that's unlike anything else the world can offer. And when we trust in Him through the midst of the confusion of our life, the persecution or the hardship that we face, the temptation of worldliness, we get to this place where we are sustained at a deeper level, deep within our hearts. The roots of God's Word can spread and really take hold of who we are. And that is how we begin to navigate then the different kinds of temptations and soil that threaten to distract us from our faith or lead us away from our relationship with God. It totally blew my mind when we started to think about the parable in this way, because no, we're never going to totally get rid of the fact that we are confused by some of the complex things in God's Word, or the fact that hardship is something that comes our way all the time, or even that worldliness is going to constantly be this temptation on our door. And yet, when we look at Matthew's gospel and we think about the ways that Jesus himself encountered temptation, we see that he constantly went back to God's word as the principal need he had to navigate through the challenges he faced. When he was tempted to provide for himself before others, or to amass a great reputation, or to sidetrack the mission God had us on, he constantly went back to God's word and said, no, I'm not going to put myself before God. I'm going to trust in his promises. I'm going to take him at his word. I'm going to do things according to his law. And in doing so, his perfect life opened up the opportunity for you and I to have a relationship with him. You see, we might think of ourselves as the seed in the story. You know, I think sometimes we think of ourselves as the soil. How do we make ourselves better soil? And that's not the right way to go. And we think of ourselves as the seed. How do I get deep enough? And I think a better way to think of it is, you know, we're kind of like a soil sample. We're kind of just, you know, someone that contains all those different things within ourselves. And seasons come and go in life where we might find ourselves more made up of the shallow soil or more made up of the rocky soil when we're encountering a hard time. But deep within us is that good soil, and the Word of God is the seed itself. That's the if we think of God the Father as the planter of the seed, the Word of God, and we know that Jesus is the Word of God, and the explanation of the parable Jesus gives in the second half of our reading, we begin to see that it's God's work that roots itself into our lives. So then we're not relying on our own abilities or relying on our own strength to navigate these difficult things. Rather, the work of God through the Holy Spirit in implanting the Word of God, Jesus himself, into our hearts begins to work change so that we might know our Creator better and more deeply. And we can navigate those confusing times, those hardships, even those temptations of worldliness in a way that sets us apart from the rest of the people who may not have that relationship with God. The root of God is the Word of Jesus deep in our hearts, sustained by the Holy Spirit, so that we might know our Father. This is an awesome parable that just has this depth to it where we can constantly go deeper and deeper into what does this mean? How is this true in my life? So I hope that this inspires you to take a look at Matthew chapter 13, dig into this agricultural parable, and hear the promises of God that he will sustain you through all those difficult times. He will keep you true in the midst of all the different competing philosophies of life. And he will be the one whose root sustains you no matter what season of life you may be in. It's so good to be studying Scripture with you this summer as we make our way through the Gospel of Matthew. It's a pleasure, it's an honor, really, to be walking through Scriptures with you. So as you face the week ahead, go with the confidence that God has deeply rooted his Word in your heart. Not on account of how good of soil you may be, but rather so that you might be sustained by his promises, that you might be cared for, that you might be strengthened so that you can endure all the different kind of soils of life that we find ourselves having to navigate. God himself is the source of all our strength, and we can count on his promises being good for us because of the work of Jesus himself and the faith that the Spirit is working in our hearts. I hope you have a great week, and I look forward to digging into more Scripture with you next week. Have a wonderful week, and it's been a joy to have you with us.